Welcome to episode 863 of the 1010 Thrive podcast, brought to you by 1010 Thrive Ministries. 1010 Thrive, 10 minutes a day, based on 10 guidelines for abundant living.
Following the bewildering vision of chapter 8, Daniel received an explanation from the angel Gabriel. However, when Gabriel reached the part about the 2300 days, Daniel was so overwhelmed that he fell ill. After recovering, he returned to his duties for the king. But the unanswered question of the 2300 days weighed heavily on him. This concern, coupled with a deep yearning for his exiled people, the Jews, compelled Daniel to pray. Opening with heartfelt confession and pleas for God's forgiveness, Daniel 9 portrays the prophet's fervent prayer for his people in captivity.
O my God, incline your ear and hear. Open your eyes and see our desolations, and the city that is called by your name. For we do not present our pleas before you because of our righteousness, but because of your great mercy. While I was speaking and praying, confessing my sin and the sin of my people Israel, and presenting my plea before the Lord my God for the holy hill of my God, the angel Gabriel, whom I had seen in the vision at the first, came to me in swift flight at the time of the evening sacrifice. He made me understand, speaking with me.
Daniel, I have now come out to give you insight and understanding. At the beginning of your pleas for mercy, a word went out, and I have come to tell it to you, for you are greatly loved. Therefore consider the word and understand the vision. 70 weeks are decreed about your people and your holy city to finish the transgression, to put an end to sin, and to atone for iniquity, to bring in everlasting righteousness, to seal both vision and prophet, and to anoint a most holy place. Know therefore and understand that from the going out of the word to restore and build Jerusalem to the coming of an anointed one, a prince, there shall be 7 weeks. Then for 62 weeks it shall be built again with squares and moat, but in a troubled time. And after the 62 weeks, an anointed one shall be cut off and shall have nothing, and the people of the prince who is to come shall destroy the city and the sanctuary. Its end shall come with a flood, and to the end there shall be war. Desolations are decreed, and he shall make a strong covenant with many for 1 week, and for half of the week he shall put an end to sacrifice and offering. And on the wing of abominations shall come one who makes desolate, until the decreed end is poured out on the desolator.
While Daniel is fervently praying for his people, the angel Gabriel touches him, stating he has come to explain the rest of the vision in chapter 8. There is an important message in Daniel 9, verse 24. One version puts it this way: 70 weeks have been decreed for your people and your holy city to finish the wrongdoing, to make an end of sin, to make atonement for guilt, to bring in everlasting righteousness, to seal up vision and prophecy, and to anoint the most holy place. These 70 prophetic weeks equal 490 literal years. 70 multiplied by 7 equals 490. God's people would soon be returning from captivity in Medo-Persia, and God would allot 490 years from the 2,300 years to his chosen people as another opportunity to repent and serve him. The starting event was a decree from Persian King Artaxerxes authorizing God's people, who were captive in Medo-Persia, to return to Jerusalem and rebuild the city. The decree, found in Ezra chapter 7, was issued in 457 BC, which was the 7th year of the king's reign, according to verse 7, and was implemented in the autumn. Artaxerxes began his reign in 464 BC. This is the most comprehensive of several decrees regarding Jerusalem's restoration, effectively starting the prophetic countdown. The prophecy divides the 70 weeks into three parts: 7 weeks, 49 years, 62 weeks, 434 years, and 1 week, 7 years. The first 69 weeks, 7 weeks plus 62 weeks, totaling 483 years, lead to the coming of the Messiah, the Prince. Mathematical calculations show that moving ahead 483 years from the fall of 457 BC reaches the fall of AD 27. Note, there is no year zero. The word Messiah includes the meaning of anointed. Jesus was anointed with the Holy Spirit, according to Acts 10, verse 38, at his baptism. His anointing took place in the 15th year of the reign of Tiberius Caesar, according to Luke 3, verse 1, which was AD 27. And to think that the prediction was made more than 500 years before. The last week of the prophecy describes a period when the Messiah would confirm the covenant with many. Note what happens after Jesus is baptized by John and anointed by the Holy Spirit. Mark chapter 1, verse 11. Now, after John was arrested, Jesus came into Galilee, proclaiming the gospel of God and saying, "The time is fulfilled and the kingdom of God is at hand. Repent and believe in the gospel." This last week in the 490-week prophecy begins with the ministry of Christ. Jesus began to preach that the time is fulfilled. He thus confirmed the prophecy. So Jesus actually began his ministry by clearly referring to the 2,300-year prophecy, stressing its importance and accuracy. Christ's ministry lasted for 3.5 years before his crucifixion, in the middle of the prophetic week, literally in the spring of AD 31, effectively putting an end to the sacrificial system through his death. Daniel 9 verses 26 to 27 also predict the city and the sanctuary's destruction, which we can attribute to the Roman siege and destruction of Jerusalem in AD 70. Notice that the gospel is revealed in Daniel 9 verse 26. After the 62 weeks Messiah shall be cut off, but not for himself. No, when Jesus was cut off, it was not for himself. He who committed no sin, according to 1 Peter 2 verse 22, was crucified for our sins. Jesus lovingly and willingly offered his life to save us from sin. Good news. Jesus' atoning sacrifice is the very heart of Daniel chapters 8 and 9. Since Jesus died after 3.5 years, how could he confirm the covenant with many for all of the final 7 years, as the prophecy in Daniel 9 verse 27 mandates? That phrase is taken from the King James Version. The covenant is his blessed agreement to save people from their sins. Hebrews 10 verses 16 and 17. "This is the covenant that I will make with them after those days, says the Lord. I will put my laws into their hearts, and in their minds I will write them." Then he adds, "Their sins and their lawless deeds I will remember no more." After his ministry of 3.5 years ended, Jesus confirmed the covenant through his disciples. Hebrews 2 verse 3, "How shall we escape if we neglect so great a salvation, which at the first began to be spoken by the Lord and was confirmed to us by those who heard him?" He sent these disciples first to the Jewish nation, as indicated by Matthew 10 verses 5 and 6, because his chosen people still had 3.5 years remaining of their 490-year opportunity to repent as a nation. When the 490-year period of final opportunity for the Jewish nation ended in the fall of AD 34, what did the disciples do? They began preaching the gospel to other people and nations of the world. Acts 13 verse 46. "Then Paul and Barnabas grew bold and said, 'It was necessary that the word of God should be spoken to you first. But since you reject it and judge yourselves unworthy of everlasting life, behold, we turn to the Gentiles.'" Stephen, a righteous deacon, was publicly stoned in AD 34. From that date onward, the Jews, because they collectively rejected Jesus and God's plan, could no longer be God's chosen people or nation. Instead, God now counts people of all nationalities who accept and serve him as spiritual Jews. They have become his chosen people. This is what Paul means in Galatians 3 verses 27 to 29 when he says, "Heirs according to the promise." Spiritual Jews, of course, include Jewish people who individually accept and serve Jesus. And so, the remaining 3.5 years extend to the stoning of Stephen and the gospel's spread to the Gentiles, concluding the 490-year period dedicated to the Jewish people. In Matthew 24:15, Jesus specifically mentioned the prophet Daniel and said that his prediction of Daniel 9, verses 26 and 27, would be fulfilled when the Christians would see the abomination of desolation standing in the holy place in Jerusalem. Jesus clearly related the destruction of Jerusalem to Israel's final refusal to accept him as their king and savior. This relationship between rejecting the Messiah and the destruction of the city and temple is the crucial message of that passage of Scripture. It is a message announcing the consequences of Israel's continued rejection of the Messiah, even after being given an additional 490 years to choose him.
Jesus' atoning sacrifice was made for you. Will you invite him into your life to cleanse you from sin? Father, help us to accept Jesus' atoning sacrifice for our lives. That's our episode. Remember that God calls you not only to live, but to thrive. Live life to the fullest today.